What's up, everybody? It's All Day Ray here with a Confessions Next Gen podcast, episode number two, where we spotlight rising traders' early journeys and the raw truth behind the charts. And today's guest, someone who's been quietly sharpening his edge in the Discord over the past couple years. You might have known him as Orbury back in the day. Early on, he was very big into the opening range breakouts. But like any trader who sticks around long enough, this man has evolved. Our guest, I consider him a deep thinker. He's a consistent voice in our happy hours, and he's someone who generally understands the game beneath the game. Of course, everyone in Discord knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my boy Aubrey. Aubrey, thanks for joining me, man. How's it going?
What's up, Ray? Glad to be here. Wow, that was quite an introduction, man.
I have to, man. I enjoy the introductions, man. I like having fun with them, man. And I'm excited to have you on here. We've talked a lot about trading, obviously offside podcast hours. I enjoy talking to you about it because like I feel like you don't have to see and watch someone trade. Just like listening to them talk and think about it is like almost like just as important, I think, like getting into someone's mindset. So I'm sure this is going to be a fun conversation, even what we were talking before we
Most
even
definitely.
got we got hopped on. But I guess Aubrey, just tell us a little bit about yourself, like who you are, like outside of the charts. Like what do you do, where you're at, all that stuff.
Outside of the charts, man. I grew up as a musician. I play the piano, play guitar. I grew up playing in bands and stuff. And then I even studied it in college. I went to FSU, shout out Seminoles. And then after that, I don't know. I just was like, I wanted to kind of keep exploring that. Moved out to LA on a whim, no plan whatsoever. Started figuring it out and kind of got into the studio world, and I've been kind of freelancing since ever since. So I do a lot of post-production editing and stuff, which is very very useful for being a trader, because I get to kind of be here in front of the screens and have the charts pulled up, and it also like kind of gives me something to do to not take stupid trades. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I kind of got my opening bell 2 hours. All right, now we're gonna get a little bit of work done, set some alerts, and so that's been honestly, it's been a godsend to be able to get so much screen time over the years.
No, that's awesome. 'Cause I mean, it seems like you're around like all day, which is awesome that like you could have a job that does both. I mean, I know, especially when I was like really trying to pursue poker like full time, like making sure I would hold like jobs that where I could still like put like a lot of effort, if not like all my effort, still into poker. And so I think that I don't know if trading something you eventually want to do full time, or is that something, or are you kind of like what you're doing right now, having both?
I kind of like having both for the time being, 'cause not having the pressure to have
For
trading
sure.
cover overhead is huge, and allows me to make way better decisions. And so I just kind of anything that comes from trading just ends up going back into my personal account and just going into, into the big swings and stuff,
For sure. For
So
sure.
it's
Yeah,
been pretty
having the
good.
pressure. Yeah, having the pressure is like, dude, that's tough. It's a tough thing. I don't think many.
I wouldn't be mad at it though, but I would have to see like certain markers get hit, and I'd want to have like a certain amount of cash in the bank to where I could approach it the right way, I've
Absolutely.
heard and seen a handful of trip ups from people that go full time a little too early or whatever. Unless you're like, if you're young, like if you're one of them young cats, 18, 19 years old, and you're starting to click in, it's like, yeah, take advantage, man. But
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. You mentioned being a musician. The market's so interesting too, because like you have people who are like, you can like take the market as like an artistic type of endeavor and view it through those lenses. And then you have obviously people who are like quants, systematic traders. And I always kind of like looking at it as like a blend of it. You know what I mean? Like, or at least the lens I view the market through. I don't know. Do you ever think about that? Like, I think it's like, I don't know. That always kind of fascinates me a bit.
I think, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a creative aspect to it. I mean, even if it's in developing the lens with which you view the market, which can be it many, many different ways. You can be looking at it through the lens of EMAs or momentum oscillators, or you could just be naked charts and vibes, like, or reading the time and sales and stuff. And I know, like, for me, I mean, if you look at a intraday chart that I have marked up today versus like 2 years ago, like, you would just laugh at how different it is, man.
Give us, well, give us some difference since you brought it up. What's the difference 2 years ago to now?
So let's say 2 years ago, I was focusing a lot more on trading through like EMA pullbacks intraday, like on a 10-minute chart or something. And I would still mark an opening range high or low. It was like the first deep study I really did was on 30-minute opening range breaks. And so I would have my opening range box, and then I would draw up the multiples like 2x, 3x, 4x for like profit targets. And I would have the EMAs,
I
and then I would
remember.
have like a ATR trailing stop or when I was testing different methods. And like, versus now, I'm trading on a I'm not even trading minute charts anymore. I'm trading on like a 5,000 tick chart, and I only care about very specific horizontal levels, like a weekly open or a initial balance high and low, overnight high and low. And like, it's really just been a progression of taking things off the charts and kind of getting more into like, all right, just the candles, and just getting a feel for the flow of what's going on and stuff
For
like
sure.
that.
I really love that like process of I guess like learning like really anything. I think like kind of like test like maybe not test a lot of things, but just like the journey you go on, like you start, you know, you're trying to like absorb like all this information and all this knowledge. And then like once you get to a certain point, you start realizing like what's important and what's not important. And like you were
Oh,
saying, you
yeah.
start like stripping stuff away to where it's almost like you get to like a very like simplistic like approach, I would say. So what are some of the things like you well, yeah, okay, we'll start with this, and then I want to ask you because I thought we had a good conversation on Happy Hour about that study you did, which I think might be good for maybe for people to hear. But first, like, what are some of the stuff like you stripped away from like what you used to have?
Well, I ended up taking away the moving averages, and I ended up taking away the momentum oscillators. I used to be really into the stochastics momentum oscillator, and I would try and find the like bullish bearish divergence and like look for all these confluences. And now I had taken them off, and I just look at very, very basic things like, oh, did we pop above the overnight high for like 10 minutes and now we're coming back in? Like, all right, well then let me just like try a short, no risk high a day, and I'll aim for the other side of the initial balance. And then that's it. And I've seen that work enough times where I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna take that. I know there's enough meat on that trade that if I'm right, it's gonna pay me like 3, 4x the risk, and that's kind of all that matters at the end of the day. And then you see enough times where if you're waiting for all the confluences of all the little things, like there's just a lot of trades that you're gonna miss because you don't get all of the boxes checked. Or I remember at one point too, I was like into the Fibonacci retracements or whatever. And so then with the way that I execute now, and then those, I would have situations where I'd be like, oh, well, if I look at it this way, it's long, but then if I look at it this way, it's a short, and it's like only one of them is going to be right. And so then you're just kind of like, not sure which one to take. Or maybe you take one and it's a loser, and you're like, man, I should have taken the other one. Then you take the other one next time, and you're like, oh, man, I should have taken the. It's like, just commit.
Just commit.
Just
Just
commit.
commit. Good risk reward. Okay. All right. Cool. Good stuff. Would you say, what are the main type of trades you're taking? Are you taking mean reversion, breakouts, maybe mixtures of both? Like, what, how would you describe your trading style right now?
A little bit of a mixture of both. I'd say primarily, if you want to call it a mean reversion trade, that's kind of it. And it's pretty much based on the look above, look below, and fail that JJ's like really heavy on.
Yeah.
And it's just I apply that entry model, if you will, like to super specific marks, like an overnight high or an initial balance high, where it's like, okay, if you get that entry mark at this specific reference, you have a higher odds chance of getting in on a larger leg of a move. So instead of taking it, for 3 or 4 points, like I could grab it at that spot, risk the low, risk the high, maybe that's 5 points, and I can catch a 30-point pull off of that and just kind of let it do its thing. So in that sense, I guess it's more of a mean reversion. I think of it more of as like rotational, like if you have a certain the market's kind of balancing in a certain zone, and I see, we run up the previous week's high or something, and you're like, okay, well, you fail that breakout, and then you're like, okay, well, I can theoretically take a short here, knowing that markets are rotational, and I can kind of ride the mean reversion back towards the center of balance, or sometimes all the way to the other side.
Good stuff. Okay, so to go to that study that you mentioned, that you did, and this was a study you did on your opening range breakout trades, correct? I thought this was, I think this is good discussion probably for people to hear, because what you're about to say, it's like something I found like through just like po I think this concept is like a probable like a gambling or like a probabilities like theorem or certainty, or it's like something to that. So anyway, just describe that, and then maybe I'll comment on it.
All right, yeah. So I guess it was like around either late 22 or early 23, somewhere in there. But I started really studying the 30-minute opening range breaks, and my goal was to work through at the very end of the Mark Douglas book. He has the exercise of like doing a 25 trade sample set where you log the data, but most importantly, you don't take any other trades other than the one. And so that was my initial goal, which frankly took me way longer than I think I must have started and restarted like 3 times because I just kept taking an outside trade or whatever. But then this after I got it, I kept the study going because I was like, oh, if I do this, like actually kind of hit, a good percentage of the time. I think I was hitting like 56% over like the first couple sample sets. I was like, oh, wow. But then I started playing with it, like, with how I risk. So I would run. I had one spreadsheet where it was like, I would take no matter what the very first break of the first 30 minutes, and I would risk the other side of the range, whether that was, 12 points or 15 points or whatever. And I would set a target for, I don't know, somewhere between 2 and 4x the range. Then I had another spreadsheet that was like, oh, I'm going to take the first break, and then I would use this like ATR trail. And once I hit the break, I put a trailing stop on the trail out, and like it is what it is. It goes how it goes. And after about like 50 or so instances, like I started seeing the difference between the two methods, and one hitting more often than the other, one being more profitable than the other, and not necessarily kind of being what you would think. Like at the time, the one that made the most money was the one that had the widest risk and just set, a target sell for three it was 3 or 4 times the opening range. Otherwise, close at the bell. Versus the other one that was the ATR trail, I kind of got trailed out of a lot of big moves prematurely, so you might have like a higher hit rate, but the overall P&L was lower, and so that got me thinking more about execution methodology and like what's better. And I guess it's like a lot of personal preference too. Like, are you more comfortable with a higher hit rate but taking a smaller leg, or something more passive? Which at the time I ended up going with the more passive thing, because it was like, oh, I can take the trade and then I can go do my work and not have to babysit it so much. But yeah, so that was kind of like the general thing of the study.
I guess what before I comment, I guess what were your like personal takeaway? How has this like shaped your trading now, like going forward?
I think that whole process got me thinking more mechanically instead of discretionarily. And then it kind of got me thinking more in terms of, instead of just going in because I like see a momentum move happening, like kind of being a little bit more calculated about, where risk is. And I ended up not sticking with that because the ranges got so big that it was kind of hard to make them work unless I was trading like very, very small, which nothing wrong with that. But I kind of wanted to find ways where I could catch momentum trades, but tighten my risk up so I could like catch more R, per day. But I still use a lot of those overall concepts of like, oh, we're going into a, I'm taking this sort of failed breakdown and we're going into a 30-minute opening range break. And then that I kind of have that in my head as like maybe more of a higher time frame play. So if I'm in from a comfy spot, I can just feel like, all right, maybe give it a little bit more room or let it play out a little bit longer, because I just generally have data points, in my head. Like, oh, if we, I get this failed breakdown and we broke the 30-minute range and traveled 2x inside of the like very next period, I'm like, okay, well, the odds are a lot higher that we're gonna keep going up. So like maybe I'll just let it play a little bit longer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, and just getting good entries just like makes it like psychologically easier as well.
Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
okay. So just to like summarize and recap for the audience. So the tra so when you were tra using a trailing stop, it wasn't as profitable as letting the trade run for like 3 to 4 times the like a target or at a close at the end of the day. And this is it's real. I guess like the concept that I think like like we were talking about on Happy Hour, I think like a lot of traders don't understand. It's like that win rate, usually the higher the win rate is like actually like
Less reward.
lower like the ROI or the EV of the trade. And like think of a few things, like some of the best traders, like they win under like, I mean, I remember interviewing this one guy, he wins 25% of his trades, Aubrey, but like massively profitable because the trades he hits are huge. You know what I mean? Like, and I guess it's just such a hard concept, and I think about to like, especially like poker tournaments or like specific poker spots or daily fantasy sports where it's like something you're going to lose a lot, but when you win big, you're looking to win big. And so it's like it, but it's hard for, I guess, the brain to wrap itself around like, okay, like I'm only actually going to win 40% of the time, and like that's actually good, and like that's actually me doing really well. And then it gets into like, people who are being very discretionary about their execution, wanting to like book wins, or it's very uncomfortable sometimes sitting in a trade like, and it's consolidating, and I'm like, hey, I just want to book my profit instead of still letting it run. But to your bottom line, like to the bottom line, and especially with poker, man, I have like, I don't know, probably close to 1 million hands at one point I had tracked. Like the most of my money, Aubrey, came on like very like a couple of number of sessions or a few number of sessions where most of the other times and other traders I've talked to have said this about trading as well, and I've seen it too. You're more or less like break, like win a little bit, lose a little bit, win a little bit, and then you have one huge day, and then you have a huge day, or you have a huge, you have a huge a couple of days, and like I think like that's what you're playing for. I think like if you're doing it like at least like in a theoretically like correct manner, and that people have to get out of this mindset of like, just trying to book wins or always trying to get wins, and like it's not about that. It's about the expected value and looking at things like through that lens and like how does that actually look and on paper. So hopefully that made some sense there.
Absolutely. And there's it's very tempting because everyone likes to put up a green day. Everyone likes to feel like I'm showing up for work, I made money or whatever. But like you do in a degree, like you need the big windfall days to pay for a lot of your mistakes. And the number of times I see, not necessarily anyone in our Discord, because our Discord knows better, but I see people, other traders, that like will take super negative R trades just to make $200 or something. And they'll be like, oh, I got a balance of 5K. I'm gonna risk 5K to make $200. And like that's gonna work for you a lot of times, especially if you don't take a stupid location trade location. But like there's gonna be that one time that it doesn't work, and the one time is gonna kill you. And like you gotta just be able to stay in the game. Like that's kind of what it is. And like the whole seeing the thing play out with like in the study, like using the ATR, and I found myself like I would see the thing get trailed out and then go for another like 3x the distance of the range, and then I would be like, I would almost feel worse about missing that trade than I would if I had just like taken the L at low of day or high of day, like whatever the opposite side of the range was. But that made me like really want to get better at taking the losses. You know what I mean?
For sure. That's why, like even kind of like I like you're saying too, like it made you kind of approach things a little like more systematic, or like mechanical. And I've always, I've not been trading recently, but like my whole approach has always been like kind of like a blend of like, yeah, like I'm doing this the discretionary execution and I take discretion into what I do, but like I really like I like looking at, I like back testing, look like talking to other people, seeing what like they've come up with and like the systematic rules. And like a lot of like the systematic people I've talked to, and I always found this fascinating too, and like this is to the same point we were talking about, like none of them told me they've ever found a useful like a useful place for having a target in their
Measured, yeah.
strategies, like and like testing like that it, letting it run. Like that's like it allows you uncap your ceiling essentially, which is always interesting because like even and I'm like not like as sophisticated as these people as far as back testing, like I need to use like software to help me, so it kind of limits on like what I can like test and stuff, but I still found it helpful and I couldn't find it either, but it made me kind of feel like good. I was like, oh, okay, like maybe I'm on the right path here, but yeah, just it's real fascinating, interesting thing for thought. Aubrey, who would you say maybe traders you look up to or like people who've been like big influence like on your trading?
I'd say that my style has kind of become a blend of like a lot of like JJ's rotational methodology, as far as like finding entries and like finding points of liquidity, getting a fail, waiting for a stop to get run and then like fail to continue the breakdown, and that's like a banger long entry. I'd say there's a trader on X, Adam Mancini, who also specializes in failed breakdowns and failed breakouts, which is very, very similar to the rotational style that JJ preaches. I think those two are probably the biggest influences right now. There's another one, Ripster is another one that I really like. His EMA class, EMAs is like that's his whole thing. For a while, I was like really into the 34 and 50 EMA trading, which I got from him, and I still kind of use that as a lens for certain like higher time frame analysis from like going back up to like a daily or a weekly chart, just to kind of like see if we're coming into an area or whatever. But
Yeah.
I think those three are probably a lot of what I'm doing now.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
Just gotta take a quick time out to announce the rebranding of our trading Discord server to the Trading Syndicate, offering not only ES, where JJ teaches and trades, but other futures, instruments, stocks, crypto. And we have DFS, that's Daily Fantasy Sports, and sports betting rooms, which I'm highly active in. Come join us at tradingsyndicate.org. And you'll see your boy Aubrey here and there as well. So come check us out. Aubrey, take us kind of through your, I know we've talked about like the study a little bit, but like when you're like reviewing yourself and your trades, just kind of take us through like your process or like what are you looking at when you're reviewing yourself?
I pull up all my executions for the day so I can look at them at the chart and kind of refresh on any mismanagement decisions I may have made, and then at the end of the day I always take a screenshot of my execution time frame, so like the 5,000 tick for now, and I like to see the entire intraday period in the chart with the levels that I like to execute on, and I take note of where every best opportunity was during the day. What were the big trades? Where were they? Did I take them? Did I not take them? How could I, and if I messed it up, like how can I do better next time? It's like I have a little personal like Discord trade journal that's literally just screenshots of intraday, and like here are the best setups of that day, and I just list them out, and that's kind of generally it, and that helps me identify in the moment when it's happening. So I'm like, oh yeah, I just have like a have it burned into my brain, like, oh okay, we're doing this. No. But
Usually everyone's has like a reoccurring leak or struggle that they have with their own personal trading. Do you have one? Like, what's yours?
being too quick on the draw is one
Too much
that
of a
comes a
gunslinger.
lot. Too much of a gunslinger.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that as a weakness, though. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know. I could maybe because I'm similar, but I don't know.
So my way around, quote, way around it has been either two ways. Either I divide my risk into bullets so that I'll take an initial entry, and my default risk unit is 10 points. So like I'll be early, or I'll take it right when it hits a zone, and I'll just one entry, and my stop just like automatically, like a bracket order populates, boom, stop 10 points away, so I can kind of let it see how it plays out. Or if I'm being, maybe a little bit more disciplined, I'll wait and I'll wait to see like a couple candles close above or below a reference. So I'm like, okay, this is like the breakdown or the breakout happening, and then I'll wait until it comes back in for that first entry. That's kind of how I've been mitigating that, and then not putting the rest of the position on until it pops in the money, like either a point or a few ticks. That way, like, I give myself the highest chance. If I'm like, oh, I take my gunslinger entry and I'm sitting through, 4 points of drawdown, then it comes back, and then I see it kind of pop in the money, and then maybe it pulls back to that spot, and then I'm like, okay, now I'm gonna hit it, and I'm gonna tighten my risk. If I'm on one. If I'm on a one lot with 10 points, I'm like, all right, now I'm gonna hit it with, two more lots, and I'm gonna tighten my risk to like 3 1/4 points or something. That way it's like, okay, well, it's still the risk is the same, you know, it's still like 10 points risk, but that way it's like that's how I'm trying to compound my R multiple, 'cause I'm taking it in the same spot where like if I'm right it's a 20 point pull, but you know that 20 point pull is 2 R on a one lot, but on a three lot that's a whole lot more, but it also means, you know, I'm probably, you know, gonna get hit out probably a lot more.
It's I know it was something I tried to forget. I forget. I know a few people. God, it must have been a while ago. I don't remember, but they were talking about like adding into your winners, being like a plus EV are a great way to really maximize. And like, I'm sitting there trying to like figure that out and like add it into my strategy. And I was just like, I don't know, man, maybe something with me, it would just fuck me up, man. Like, 'cause like either my initial entry was actually really good and then I had no chance to add into it, or, I don't know. It would just mess me up, or like, I would never feel like I would want to average in.
Yeah.
So I just always kind of just stuck to one's like initial sizing, but maybe that's a leak of mine in itself, or I don't know.
My caveat is that like when I do that, when I'm doing that, it has to be so close to the initial entry. 'Cause if
I hear you.
I had a fumble on Friday where I, you know, I did the thing, I took the single lot. It kind of got in the money a few points. And then there's like these moments where this was a long, right? So it was failed breakdown long. And then you kind of get 3 or 4 points in the money. You see the bid kind of crater for a brief moment to where all of a sudden it's a couple ticks away from your initial entry. And that's the point. That's the moment to throw your ads into the weakness. And just, it's like trust falling into like, the bid coming back, and I had a moment of hesitation where it was literally less than a second, and then the bid came back, and we were back like 4 points higher. And I was like, ah. So then I tried, like, okay, well, I'll wait for this candle to close and then I'll add. But then, like, you know, like you said, I'm driving my average up way too much, and then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, if there is a routine pullback, like now I'm in a position where it's hard to keep an appropriate risk, right? Because if I'm allowing myself 10 cumulative points of risk or whatever, and now we're 10 points in the money, but my average is like 3 points away, like in theory, we could pull back 5 points and not ruin the validity of the setup, but like, you know, what are you gonna do? Like you have to respect the risk. So like that's my caveat on that is like I'm only doing it if I can get it, like snipe it within a point or so.
Which I like a lot, 'cause I like now that we're like talking it out, I think I like remember like the I forget who I got this from, or maybe it's, I'm sure maybe it's like a collective of people, but it's like you're kind of like waiting for like the like when you have that second ad, like it's almost like validating the thesis. And so like, now that's the add-on point there, which sounds great, which is good, which is awesome. But everything you said too is I guess things to think about. Nothing is like foolproof. Let's see here, what else was I was gonna ask you. Psychology, like psychologically, what part of trading has been the hardest for you to master there?
Man, it's not a creative answer, but it's accepting being wrong, man. And it's a and as I've gotten better, so have you know, the problems kind of compound with you, and you kind of really got to keep them in check. And I unfortunately, like, I can trade my way out of tight spots. A lot of the number of times I've been within 2 points of like hitting my daily loss limit to then swing it around to like go back and put up like a really good green day. So many times I've done that. And the only and like having the max daily, a hard max daily loss limit. I mean, like the auto liquidator comes on and locks you out of the account is the thing that saves my life. 'Cause otherwise, like if I don't have that, like I can get into a place where I keep swinging and I keep swinging. And I've definitely had moments where I've let myself, when I don't have the max loss limit, like I'll let myself go down five figures in the red. And then all of a sudden I'll hit it and I'll swing it all the way around and make like 2x what I was down. And it's like, all right, but that's a very dangerous thing. That's a dangerous game to play. That's a very dangerous game to play. So that's probably like, if we're talking about my worst habit, it's probably that. But for now, the hard auto liquidator keeps me from going too crazy.
There we go. There we
Yeah.
go. Yeah, that's I struggle with that one too, man. Like I don't know. It's like still to this day, right? I guess it's just a human thing too, right? We don't like being wrong. And I'd be like, no, like I'm just too early. My thesis is right. I'm just too early. Just give it some time. And then that's actually what kind of made me shift from like, okay, I don't trade like I had to like I still I would still day trade and it's sometimes swing as well. But I'm like, I need to extend my time frame maybe a little bit, or that's at least what made me. Maybe I'm just like justifying it. I'm like, because I can't get out if I'm like, no, I got to give it time. I got to give it time. Like, but I don't, you know.
I've been trying to think of too, like, think of general narratives for an intraday sort of pattern and be like, okay, well, like realistically, if the whole move is going to play out the way that it's going to play out, like there's going to be like sign or flagpoles or mile markers, if you will, like along the way. So like, I don't necessarily have to hit it all right here. If I'll give like an example, I guess, is like, if we have, sorry, I'm watching us make new highs on the day. If we have like the initial balance hit and we break down from it, and then we break down from the overnight low, and then I'm like, okay, we're coming back up and I'm gonna go long, right? And I wanna be long as close to the overnight low as possible. But like, in theory, I know there's a version of this trade that's gonna go and break high a day, right? So like, what are all the things that you're gonna see? You're going to see us pull back right above the initial balance low, and you're going to see the bid hold at that level. Then you're going to see it rotate a little bit higher to like the 30 minute high, the opening 30 minute high, yada yada yada. And so like all of those little mile markers you could think of as individual trades on their own. So like, if I wanted to be a little more slow on the draw, right? I could wait until I see certain signposts to add more risk for that whole move playing out or whatever. But sometimes you just get a little addicted to your initial bias and you're like, nope.
I totally relate. Just side note here to you, to you, Aubrey, in the audience, man. This has had this podcast alone has like really tested my focus, man. We just moved to like an office, so like I used to just be out of the house. Now we're in the office, and I got my window. I should have had my blinds shut, but I have my window blinds open, and this guy just is outside of my window, just like trying to ask me a question. I'm like, dude, you see, I got a mic. I got a fuck, like, bro, are you seeing this shit, dude? He's just like banging on my window, Aubrey, this whole time, like showing me a paper. Like, dude, I don't know what you're at.
Yo, that's funny, man.
Dude, this guy, no, this guy's just ridiculous though. Like, dude, I'm not like like you see the video's up on here. I got the mic, but anyway,
Nah,
hopefully I've
people up
been sounding, keeping up with the conversation here. This guy is tilting me.
If you didn't tell me, I wouldn't have known.
Okay,
So,
well, I just figured this guy's fucking tilting me, man. Like, dude. And he just keeps walking by, dude. Like, all right, anyway, sorry, not to get off topic here. Let's all right, so self-serving question here.
sure.
For us, Aubrey, what role has the community like Discord? What benefit is it to a trader if you think there's one?
Oh man, I think being around a community of other people taking it serious is huge. It's a balance though, because there's, you want to be mindful of the information that you're taking in, like, and taking to heart. I've gotten tremendous value out of like the happy hour chats with you and Dennis, and sometimes JJ and Dan pop in there too, but like that really like helped me a lot with mindset. Dennis has a lot to speak on risk, which was like super useful. A lot of your poker metaphors were actually, I don't know if it was definitely from the room. I don't know if it was you or Dennis. I feel like it might have been you. But I ended up going down a rabbit hole of like trying to learn poker a little bit better, and like reading some books and whatever, and general strategy. And that was maybe one of the better rabbit holes that I went down, like specifically in, gauging probabilities and like ramping aggression in poker. Like when I started getting used to pressing your bets, I really started getting a lot out of that, applying it to trades, like pressing your winners and stuff, and like even thinking of intraday, like playing out the way a poker round might play out. I kind of think of a certain window of the morning as being like the flop, and then
I
anyway,
like
but
that.
like,
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. Like the morning's like the flop, and then you turn afternoon or river, final hour or something. Like that's interesting. No, I'm glad to hear that, 'cause sometimes I think I'm like, 'cause obviously I have a poker background. I think it was tremendously useful, but like, I mean, of course I'm gonna think that. Like that's at least what part of me think. Of course I'm gonna think that. That's my experience. But Dennis played poker. Dennis was a poker player before as well. But no, I really do. And actually, if anyone out there, I did. I write some articles. I wrote this is actually like the recent article I wrote, and I was like comparing like game theory, like looking at trading through like GTO, which is like game theory optimal like lenses. And like obviously I learned this from poker, but like it's a course they teach. I think certain colleges teach it, game theory courses. But like poker is like a excellent way to teach game theory, on like to your point, like on like pressing your edge, like. And poker is solvable now, and like we use computers like on how to play hands, and I worked like extensively with them, and like yeah, it's almost like shocking, Aubrey, like how aggressive you need to be in certain spots where like some stuff we already kind of knew, like humans kind of figured out, and then there were some parts that were just totally surprising that I was like, oh wow, like that I need to 2x the pot, like you literally bet two times the pot, like. Oh, okay. Like, and so they're real interesting things that we're like in, because math is just a big poker problem at the end of the day, or poker is a big math problem. Poker is a big math problem, and like being able to balance your ranges, et cetera, without getting into all that. But yeah, it like, and so like coming over to trading, like you were saying, like really understanding, like, okay, like what situations now when I'm in trading, like, do I need to ramp up my aggression here? Or, and it's not always a one for one, but I think it's a, good way to, it can help and bring
Oh,
some good
for
ways of
sure.
thinking.
For sure.
All right. Aubrey, just I guess that kind of hits on a lot of the trading stuff I wanted to talk about. I guess something, another thing we talk about a little bit sometimes, happy hour. I mean, I guess we hit on a lot of things, but I also I really enjoy talking to people about like their, way from the charts like activities, especially when it comes to like health. Because I think that's like real important too, right? Like I think being like healthy and taking care of yourself and all that, like having your mind like ready to come. I think of us as almost as like athletes because it is a performance type sport. And I know you're an active guy. Kind of tell us what you're into nowadays.
Nowadays, it's well, I kind of hit the weight room every morning before the bell, and then I'll hit right now it's like 3 times a week. I'll go hit a boxing class from like 8 to 9 Eastern. That's kind of a lot of it. I like to go for like jogs on the lakefront trail, or like go through Lincoln Park or whatever. Like I kind of like a lot of that outdoorsy stuff. Back when I was in LA, it was like I'd find hiking trails like just outside the city, or go out into like Santa Monica Mountains with the dog and kind of like hike around there. But yeah, I think it's huge. Not to mention like the discipline that you put into your personal life, or like your health and fitness, like it only helps your trading. Like, it's just proving that routine or building that discipline. Like I know there was a big turnaround at one point. I had like blown up after my first year, my first like account or whatever, and I was like really feeling some type of way about it. And I kind of was like, saw someone post something about doing that 75 hard challenge or whatever, and I was like, I'll make myself do that or whatever. So I did that, and I kept studying or whatever, and I don't know if it was real or not, but I feel like I started kind of turning around, and when I started getting my health and fitness like a little bit more serious,
For
even
sure.
now sometimes I feel like when my trading slips, like there's also other things in my life that are slipping. Like I get too bogged down with outside work or something, so all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, I don't have time to go to the gym or whatever, so like I'll skip the boxing class, and then all of a sudden I'm like taking these dumb trades, and like I'll take a couple red days, and I'm just like, coincidence maybe, but I don't think so. So I'm like, all right. And I fix it by being like, you know what? All right, I'm gonna make myself go to the gym tomorrow. I'm gonna sign myself up for the boxing class. And like, sure enough, like the trading performance typically ends up following. So
For sure.
maybe it's random. Maybe it's not. I don't
I
know.
mean, I guess it could. I mean, it's like whether it is or it isn't. I mean, I don't think it is. I don't think it is personally. Whether it is or it isn't, it's like if you believe it, right? It's like one of those things, like if it is
Oh
or
my
it isn't,
gosh.
you believe it, it is true. Well, I think too. I mean, I think what most like studies or scientists would agree on that like exercise is good for your brain. Like not obviously not just for our bodies, but our brain.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I guess there's always like those guys, like it's like people who are like just totally out of shape, but like but they're good traders. I don't know. Maybe not so more any. It's like anything, man. You got genetic. You got people who are different, gifted at certain things, but probably for the average person, hey, working out and to your point too, like not or like so not only is it gonna be good for you mentally, but you're going to develop the discipline, which I think and like I'm a big believer to where it's like you don't like. I don't think you just like automatically become disciplined when you just show up to trading and then like you're a slob in your general life. I don't think things work that way. I think you're the same person throughout every pursuit you do. So cultivating like good habits outside of trading, I think is going to show up in your trading. So,
Absolutely.
all right, good stuff. All right. And
Not
that
my
is
best.
going to conclude today's episode of Confessions Next Gen. Aubrey, do you want the do you want to let the audience know your X account? Do you want to you want to plug that or?
You could find me on the interwebs at aubrey.irl.
Aubrey dot I follow you, right? I think I do.
I think so. I think we follow each other.
Right? No, Aubrey dot IRL. Yeah, I'm just making sure. There he is. Yep. Yes, no, I don't follow you. Damn. With the kangaroo, right?
Yep,
All right,
that's
well,
me.
there you go. Guys, go on there, follow Aubrey. Hit him up on there. You guys can hit me up. You guys know me all day, Ray, on Twitter. Aubrey, it's been a pleasure, man.
Likewise.
I appreciate it, man. I'll see you in the room. Thanks for doing this. And I'm the Superman lover. He's Aubrey. Make sure you guys are using stop, so peace.
Stops though. Later.